Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 11th of July. I'm your host, Paul White. It is my prayer, as we journey through any letter, chronologically, verse by verse, that's most of the time what we do here on the podcast. My prayer is that you are impacted with excitement for the Word and a passion for the Lord Jesus. If you could feel, and if you do feel, a little bit of what I feel as I go through this, then I feel like we're doing something worthwhile. I come into a lot of these podcasts with an idea, and I leave many of them with a revelation. It's already happened in these first few verses of 1 Peter 1. I mean, I go into it and know what I think I'm going to say as we hit record, and I have this verse in mind and the context of the verse and try to put myself as much as possible into the setting and the backdrop. And I know where I want to go, but just as we start to talk and as we start to expound, so many things begin to lay out in front of me and I grab them in real time a lot of times. Some of them we don't grab. Many of them we grab just in real time as it's happening and begin to share it. And I will oftentimes get done and in conversation with my wife later that day, we'll say, here's something the Holy Spirit showed me today that I hadn't even thought of, or I had never seen it this way, and didn't even see it that way until I hit record. And then as it's coming out, it came out like this. And I hope that when you push play on your podcast, you come into it with an idea and you leave with a revelation. That would make me happy. And I get good testimonies from people who say similar things to that, and it always blesses my heart. If you haven't contacted us ever, and this podcast has been a blessing to you, I wish you'd send me an email. Go to our website, hit contact, send me an email. I'd love to hear from you on what an impact it's making. And even if you don't ever contact us, my prayer is still that we're making some difference in how you view the Word, and we're bringing an excitement and a freshness to that. Today we tackle the fifth verse of 1 Peter 1. It's the middle of a sentence, the sentence stretching all the way back into verse 3. To be fair, we should probably read 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Here's our verse for today, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, we put 5 with 4 yesterday to help complete the thought of that which is reserved in heaven for us. We brought it all the way to the end, that it'll be revealed in the last time. And we brought out that this is not the last day, the last times of verse 20. Although it could have some, I don't want to say it's not, it could have some eschatological framework around it. But I think based on the fact that we're talking about something reserved in heaven, we're talking about something that comes to its fullness and its fruition, complete fruition, its harvest, so to speak, in heaven. But on our way there, the fifth verse deals with something. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The keeping of who we are is the power of God in our lives. For much of my life, okay, let me start over. For all of my life, I've known something about Jesus. Raised in the church, that's what's going to happen. You know, Sunday school, youth meetings, church, knew the lingo and the language and the stuff, the songs and the formulas and the verses. Christianity has been, it's marked much of my life, but so much of that was marked by a fear that I wouldn't be able to hold on to it all the way. Because I came up in a particular doctrine in which you were never eternally secure in your salvation, because we viewed eternal security as a greasy sort of message. Because, I mean, if you knew you were eternally secure, wouldn't you just go out and do any old stupid thing? And I think it was an ignorance in a lot of ways about the power of transformed life It was ignorance about the kingdom of God on the earth. It was certainly ignorant about the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. To blanketly think that if you believe someone's eternally secure, you think they'll sin against that, is to not understand the transformed life. Well, now that I have an understanding of the transformed life, and I know a little bit about what I am and who I am, I realize that the great challenge, the great fear that I have of whether or not I would be saved, need not be a fear any longer, because it is not my role to keep me for salvation. Look at verse 5, 1 Peter 1, 5. It's the power of God that keeps me for salvation, and it works through faith. So I just say to people, do you believe that He loves you and that He can keep you? And everyone says, oh yes. Well then, it's His power to keep you. It would be a rather weak new covenant if God would go to all of this effort to save you by the blood of Jesus, resurrecting His Son and making that a reality, only to lose you to sin after you have received Christ. It would be as if God wasted His time working so hard to win sinners He can't keep. And that would have this cosmic war between good God and bad devil, and good God's trying to win you and bad devil's trying to keep you and win you back, and bad devil wins pretty easy. In fact, bad devil wins on a pretty uneven playing field. God has to work really hard and die on a cross, and then He still might not win. Devil doesn't really have to do anything. Just offer you a couple stuff, you do it, boom, you're lost, devil wins. I hope you can see the almost cartoonish aspect of such a theology, and I pray that no one in the world, much less in our audience, would adhere to such foolishness. But we have. I did. I wouldn't have ever said it that way, but that's, looking back, that's how I've been able to formulate that, is looking back on it and going, well, I thought this and this and this, and if you put them all together, they sound kind of crazy, but that was what drove me and motivated me a lot. Fear and intimidation, those are chains that have to be removed and grave clothes that have to be taken off. What I believe now is that He keeps me by His power. I believe in that power and I rest in that confidence, but He keeps me by His power, His salvation. In this, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. We're going to dig deeper into that because that's a big sentence. I think you can take the first half of verse 6 and realize that you greatly rejoice in knowing He keeps you. It's worth greatly rejoicing about. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.